Behind the Line Extra for your Saturday, October 12th, 2019. I am your host, KC. Follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. Got my NFL plays coming up. I love the plays for Sunday's games. I told you going into last weekend, it was going to be a tough go of it with our NFL plays. The lines last weekend were spot on. We ended up breaking even, but this Sunday, I really like these games. Should be a big weekend for us in both college and the NFL. It's going to be a great weekend of football. We finally got a good college football weekend to go along with the NFL on Sunday. If you missed my college plays, I released them yesterday morning. You can go back and listen and get them in before the games kick off today. Going to start with Tom Brady. Stats can be very misleading. Now, I understand that the Patriots ended up blowing out the Giants Thursday night. But I've been saying the past couple of weeks that Tom Brady has not looked like Tom Brady. He looked bad against the Bills. I can kind of let that one slide because Buffalo has one of the best defenses in the NFL. He looked awful against the Redskins in that first half last week. And then Thursday night, against a bad Giants defense who were depleted and got several guys on IR, Tom Brady looked as bad as I've seen him all season. I get that his stat line looked great, but he just does not look like the same guy. You could see the frustration on Bill Belichick's face throughout that game. Fox showed him several times on the sideline, and he was visibly upset. You can blame it on injuries. A couple of offensive linemen were out. Josh Gordon was injured. You can blame it on the injuries if you want, but I don't buy it. Tom Brady's always found a way to overcome any obstacle in his way. I haven't seen a stretch this bad out of Tom Brady his entire career. Everyone has a bad game, but three bad games in a row, it's starting to become a trend. Let's look at his stat line for a second. 31 of 41, 334 yards, completed 76% of his passes, had a 88.9 quarterback rating, zero TDs, one interception. Not bad, right? If you just looked at that stat line and didn't watch the game, you would think, oh, Tom Brady had a pretty good game. Wrong. Another red zone interception on a god-awful pass to Julian Edelman that Brady just missed. He just missed him. Third week in a row that he's thrown an interception in the red zone. Then he had a strip sack fumble that was returned for a Giants touchdown. Sacked three times Thursday night. The Patriots were up 14-0 in the second quarter. They were poised to run away with this game. And Tom Brady's bad play let New York back in the game in about 90 seconds. About 90 seconds, it was tied up 14-14. The Giants had all the momentum going into halftime. New England's defense bailed them out once again Thursday night. This defense has been bailing out Tom Brady for the past 3 weeks. Now, everyone will argue that the Patriots are 6-0, so why does this even matter? Let me tell you why it matters. First, we don't really know how good this New England defense is. We don't really know how good this New England team is. Listen to the quarterbacks they've played so far this season. Big Ben, Josh Rosen, Luke Falk, Josh Allen, Colt fucking McCoy, and Daniel Jones. Does that sound intimidating to you? Big Ben's out for the season now, but of the rest of that list, Daniel Jones is the best quarterback, and he's still got a long way to go before he becomes a legitimate threat in this league. The Patriots' schedule has been soft. I mention all the time when I talk about the Buffalo Bills, you can't turn over the ball consistently and win football games in the NFL. Right now, New England's defense is forcing about three turnovers a game. 20% of opponents' drives result in a turnover. That's pretty fucking good. But they're playing bad teams. Once this schedule beefs up, the defense is going to have to have better play from Tom Brady to win games. You can't depend on this New England defense to get you three turnovers a game. It's going to level out at some point. New England's next six games, they had the Browns at Baltimore, at Philly, Dallas, at Houston, and Kansas City. Toughest stretch of their season coming up over this next month and a half. Only team with a winning record they've played thus far is the Buffalo Bills. Five of their next six games are against playoff caliber teams. We're about to find out how good New England really is. Now, don't take this as me doubting Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That's not the case. I've seen the greatness from this duo too much over the past 18 to 20 years to ever doubt Brady and Belichick. However, I see some analysts talking about the possibility of the Patriots going 16-0 again. I don't see that happening. If Tom Brady continues to be un-Brady-like, like we've seen the past 3 weeks, I could see them losing against Philadelphia and Kansas City. Maybe even at Houston. Seems like the offensive line in Houston is really starting to gel. Deshaun Watson looked phenomenal last week. I'm not going to say the Patriots are going to lose to Dallas. I will never pick Dak Prescott over Tom Brady. All right, on yesterday's podcast, I asked how much longer the Cleveland Browns could go about losing the way they've been losing before the whispers in the media began and the locker room started to implode. Now, the locker room is yet to implode, but the whispers have begun. They're light whispers at this point, but whispers nonetheless. Odell Beckham was speaking to the media Thursday, and this is what he had to say. Quote, "I hate losing, period. Anytime we lose, and I don't feel like I did anything to help win the game, I'm going to be frustrated. That's just the bottom line. I'm a winner in my heart, and I hate losing," end quote. When has Odell Beckham ever been a winner? This is his ninth NFL season. He's been to the playoffs once. And he was a non-factor in that game. Eli Manning targeted him 11 times. He caught four fucking passes for 28 yards. You take away that one spectacular catch in that game against Dallas. I believe it was his rookie season. I know it was early in his career. That one-handed catch he had on Sunday Night Football. You take away that catch, and Odell Beckham isn't even a star receiver in this league. He'd be like a Ted Ginn, a pretty good, decent receiver, but he wouldn't be a household name, I don't think. Beckham has more passing attempts than he has touchdowns this season. His frustration's visible, and I believe it's starting to affect Baker Mayfield. Listen to what Baker Mayfield said about OBJ Thursday. Quote, "He's frustrated when he's not getting the ball and we're losing. Why not be? He feels like he could help us win if we get the ball in his hands. It's frustrating when he's not getting the ball and we're losing. You can't blame him. He's one of the best receivers in the league, and when he's not getting the ball, he always has it in the back of his mind of, what if I did get the ball and change the game?" End quote. If I'm Freddie Kitchens, I'm really concerned about this. Baker Mayfield is basically giving you a tiny glimpse into what's going on in his mind during the game. Get OBJ the ball. Get OBJ the ball. Keep Odell happy. We have to find a way to get him involved or deal with the consequences. That's not a good place to be for a young quarterback. You cannot win with that type of psyche. Terrell Owens destroyed a strong veteran locker room in Philadelphia with his diva-like antics. Completely split that roster down the middle. Half like Owens, half like Donovan McNabb. This has the potential to become a real problem in Cleveland. We've all seen OBJ's outburst before. This is nothing new. Kicking the field goal net on the sideline, screaming at coaches and players when he wasn't involved, when he was with the Giants. But in New York, you had a veteran quarterback in Eli Manning who could handle OBJ's outburst and kind of rein him back in. You don't have that type of leadership in Cleveland at the head coaching position and especially at the quarterback position. Baker Mayfield's in his second year. He needs all the support he can get from his guys. Watch what I tell you. This is going to get worse if Cleveland keeps losing and Odell Beckham isn't involved. In Freddie Kitchens' defense, it's not like they haven't been trying to get OBJ the ball. But the Browns keep losing like this, and this situation is going to blow up that locker room. I actually think that this team would be better off if they traded Odell Beckham. At this point, I think he's more of a distraction than an asset. All right, let's get to the NFL plays for the weekend, then I'm going to get out of here. Like I said, I love these games this weekend. First up, Texans at Chiefs. Current line is Kansas City -4. This line's dropped big since it was released early in the week. Line opened at Kansas City -7. It's been bet all the way down to 4. I think some of that is a bit of an overreaction to the Chiefs' loss at home to Indy Sunday night. The Texans' offensive line was exposed the first couple of weeks of the season, but they've improved the past couple of games. Deshaun Watson was hardly touched last week against Atlanta. And we saw what he can do when he's given protection. He lit up the Falcons for 426 yards and 5 touchdowns. We all know how great Patrick Mahomes is. But he's coming into this game with a banged up ankle. His mobility will be limited. Not only is Mahomes hurt, Sammy Watkins has a hamstring injury. And a couple of defenders for Kansas City were also hurt last week against Indianapolis. Bottom line, Kansas City is banged up right now. I also think that Houston is the better team defensively. The Texans love to rush the passer with J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. And with Mahomes having a bum ankle, they should be able to get after him easier than normal. I expect Kansas City to be up for this game after that disappointing performance last week against the Colts. But I think Deshaun Watson keeps it close. This Texans offense is different than what we saw at the beginning of the year when Watson was basically running for his life. He should have plenty of time to throw on this Chiefs defense, who isn't effective rushing the passer anyway. Give me the points. I'm going to take Houston +4. Next up, Saints at Jaguars. Current line, Jacksonville -1. Minshew mania must be alive and well, because I can't believe the line in this game. This might be one of those games where Vegas is kind of luring you in, but I'm going to take the bait. Just for a second, take the teams out of this equation and just consider the number for this point, okay? If I told you that Team A has a much better defense, better offensive line, better running backs and receivers, better special teams, better head coach, and a better quarterback, and that they were an underdog and actually getting a point against their opponent, wouldn't you take Team A, the better team? That's exactly my point with the Saints on the road against Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew has been okay this season. But like any rookie quarterback, he's had his struggles. And now he faces one of the best defensive units in the NFL. Minshew struggles to recognize and avoid the pass rush. And he's already fumbled 7 times this year. The Saints have one of the best pass rushes in the league led by Cam Jordan. They average about 3 sacks a game. We saw last week what Teddy Bridgewater can do against a weak defense. He will have another opportunity this week against this Jacksonville defense. The Jags have already given up over 30 points twice in 5 games. And this pass rush in Jacksonville isn't what it was back in 2017. You take away that 9-sack game they had on Thursday Night Football against the Titans, and this team averages about 1 sack a game. They're not rushing the passer like they were a couple of years ago. Now, I know Alvin Kamara is listed as questionable at this point, but I think he'll play. I think he and Latavius Murray could have a big day against this Jacksonville defense who ranks near the bottom of the league in run defense. New Orleans is a good road team. They're 8-3 against the spread their last 11 road games. I faded my Saints last week against Tampa. I'm not making that mistake again. Sean Payton's done an excellent job working around Teddy Bridgewater's skill set and putting this team in a position to win games by any means necessary. I'll take the point, but I like the Saints to win. I'm taking New Orleans +1. Next up, Seahawks at Browns. Current line is Seattle -2. This is one of those games where I'm betting the situation and the number. Throw out the stats and the matchups for this one. For starters, West Coast teams flying east for 1 p.m. kickoffs usually don't fare that well. They get into town the day before. Their body clocks are 3 hours off. Then they've got to wake up early and play a game at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Now, this trend has been reversed a little bit in recent years, but it still exists. But this game, to me, is all about the Cleveland Browns. They were just humiliated on national television. That loss at San Francisco couldn't have gone any worse. But remember what happened the last time Cleveland had an ugly loss on national TV? They lost to the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Baker Mayfield had a terrible game. Rex Ryan came out and said that Mayfield was overrated. What happened after that? The Browns responded with a beatdown at Baltimore and completely dominated the Ravens. This week, all we've heard about is the struggles in Cleveland. Hell, I talked about it on this podcast. I just talked about it 5 minutes ago. NFL teams that get embarrassed on national television generally come back the next game highly motivated and ready to prove the media and the doubters like me wrong. That's exactly the situation we have Sunday in Cleveland. Give me the points. Taking the Browns +2. Next up, Falcons at Cardinals. Current line, Atlanta -2. I generally stay away from road favorites in the NFL. I love my home dogs, but this game's a little bit different. Dan Quinn is coaching for his job right now in Atlanta, and the Falcons are due for a win. If you listen to this podcast regularly, you know I'm no fan of Matt Ryan. I think he's highly overrated and can't win the big game. However, Matt Ryan and the Falcons usually win the games they're supposed to win. Atlanta's been god-awful defensively, but the offense has generally played pretty well, especially against weaker defenses like you have in Arizona. This 28th-ranked Cardinals defense struggles rushing the passer, has a weak secondary, and opponents score on nearly 50% of their drives. Also, this is a young team in Arizona. Rookie quarterback Kyler Murray and rookie head coach Cliff Kingsbury are coming off their first win of the season. Hell, their first NFL win. The offense was dominant last week at Cincinnati. Prime letdown spot for a young team. Coming off their first win of the season, playing a veteran team that's had a disappointing start to the year. Hell, Atlanta hasn't won a game since week 2 against the Eagles. The Cardinals start games off slowly. Kyler Murray usually doesn't get going until the second half. I think the Falcons build an early lead and they keep it. I'm going to swallow the points here, taking Atlanta -2. Cowboys at Jets, current line, Dallas -7. My favorite play of the weekend. This Jets team is banged up. They've been banged up all year, but they're getting quarterback Sam Darnold back after missing the last few weeks with mono. I've been screaming it loudly all year that the Dallas Cowboys are overrated. It's been exposed the last 2 weeks. What have I said all year? To stop Dak Prescott and this Cowboys offense, all you have to do is contain Ezekiel Elliott. Just like the Packers and Saints, the Jets have the defensive personnel to stop the run. They rank 7th in the league, allowing about 70 rushing yards a game. And Sam Darnold's only started the season. This Jets team played relatively well. They were leading the Bills 16-0 before they collapsed in the second half. The Jets' defense isn't bad. They just haven't been able to get any production offensively without Sam Darnold. The square public bettors are all over the Cowboys in this game. Yet the Lions dropped by 1.5. This game opened Dallas -8.5. Prime case of reverse line movement. I think this is a low-scoring game. I like Dallas to win, but I'll gladly take the free touchdown. Taking the Jets +7. All right, couple of freebies here that I'm not including in my picks, but these are two other games that I'm putting just small wagers on, and I'm going with these two games in my pool play. I like Tennessee to cover +2 at Denver and win that game. Feel like we're getting a bit of an overreaction here on Denver's win last week against the Chargers. Tennessee's got a tough defense. I think Joe Flacco returns to form, and the Titans win that game on the road. Also, I like the 49ers to cover +3 at the Rams. Sean McVay and the Rams are falling apart. This offense is struggling right now without a running game. And the 49ers are coming in on fire. This will be the toughest test of the year for San Francisco. And they're in a bit of a letdown spot after that beatdown against the Browns on Monday Night Football. They're also on a short week, but they don't have to travel real far. 49ers have a pretty good defense. Don't know if they win, but I do like them to cover Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles. All right, that's all for today. I'm out of here. Hit the like and subscribe button. It really goes a long way in supporting the podcast and helping us get noticed. Leave a comment in the section below. Let me know your NFL picks for the weekend. I'll be back Tuesday morning with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Have a great weekend, guys. I'll see you on Tuesday.